You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. They are the keepers of baseball's inner sanctum. They are the equipment managers, clubhouse managers, or more informally, clubbies. What's life like inside the room behind a door with a sign that reads, "No visitors allowed"? Let's visit with the man who is baseball's senior clubby in point of service. He's been at it for 59 seasons. Yes, 59 seasons, and is a legend around the San Francisco Giants. So much so that the home team clubhouse is named in his honor, and within the organization, he's referred to as the franchise. It's a great pleasure and honor to welcome to the show Miguel Angel Mike Murphy. Mike, welcome to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.
All right, Eddie. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
You grew up in San Francisco. You're a native.
I sure am. I joined the Giants when they first came out as a Giants bat boy, and Mr. Logan kind of liked me because he came up from New York with the Giants, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah, Eddie Logan was the longtime clubhouse manager when they were the New York Giants. As a kid, Mike, what did you know about the Giants when they were back in New York before they moved west?
Nothing. We had a Triple A franchise out here, the Seals, and they were a great team, and all through 2 years, and our president Jerry Dunneman, who became general manager of the Giants right after Mr. Feeney retired to go to the National League office. And he told me that the Giants were, the Seals were being disbanded and moved to some other town, and the Giants were coming. I says, "Oh, geez, what's the Giants?" He said, "Oh, that's a big team, the big National League team." So I sort of cried my eyes out when they came out, met Willie Mays and all the guys, Bill Rigney, and fell right into place.
You were a fan of the San Francisco Seals. They played in the Pacific Coast League, and you used to go to Seals Stadium all the time. And Seals Stadium would become the Giants' first home until Candlestick Park was built. But you were a big Seals guy.
Yeah, I was the bat boy for the Seals, in all them years. So and I didn't want to leave Seals Stadium because that was a nice little stadium, and then all of a sudden the Giants did. They wanted a bigger ballpark with parking, so they moved to Candlestick Park, and we were there for tons of years there until we moved to the new ballpark downtown here.
But you had a job with the San Francisco Seals before the Giants came.
Oh, sure. I was a bat boy, and he told me, Mr. Donovan told me, he became, like the business manager for the San Francisco Giants, and he said, "I'll try to hire you." So he hired me to help Eddie Logan and be a bat boy.
And you also, I understand, for the Seals, you would go into the stands to get the balls that were hit during batting practice to retrieve them.
Oh, yeah, that's how I started hanging around Seals Stadium when I was a kid, because we lived right back of Seals Stadium, and I used to go collect all the balls for the trainer, and he'd sort of give me a ball now and then, and one day he says, "Oh, the bat boy didn't show up. Would you like to be bat boy?" I said, "Oh, heck yeah." So I started there with Leo Hughes, and next thing you know, here I am, still working in baseball.
thankfully so. So the Seals leave, they vacate the territory to make room for the San Francisco Giants, and now the Giants are here. You've worked for the Seals, you have experience, you have a resume, and now here's an opportunity to work for the Giants as well.
Sure, and that time was Mr. Stoneham on the team, and he sort of liked me. He called me Irish all the time, And we became friends, and all through the years, Mr. Stoneham, every time I'd see him, he'd say, "Hey, Irish, how you doing?" I said, "Fine, Mr. Stoneham, everything's all right." He'd get mean sometimes to the people, but he was nice to me, and the Giants were a great team, and we had great managers and great ballplayers come through here, and then all of a sudden we turned the thing around, and we won 3 world champions.
The story goes that Eddie Logan, who you just talked about, the clubhouse manager, had already given the bat boy job to another kid and gave you a job in the visitors clubhouse as the visiting bat boy. But there's a great story about how one day the home team bat boy didn't show up. But you stepped up.
I stepped up. I had to run the two. I was the bat boy for the Giants and bat boy for the visitors. Every time I had to run back and forth. And plus being a ball boy too. running the balls of the umpires. They have to pick the balls with me on the visiting side. Then after that side, I'd run over, change clothes, and put on the Giants uniform for the bat boy.
So every inning, you're in a Pirates uniform, and then there's three outs, you got to race over, put on your Giants uniform.
I know. Then
when there's three outs, you got to put the Pirates uniform back on.
I know. Holy Toledo. I was one tired guy changing clothes and working all day that day.
Wow, I bet.
Plus, I had to shine shoes after that and clean both clubhouses up with Eddie Logan, you know.
Wow.
That was tiresome.
But Eddie Logan was so impressed with you because he said that you always showed up early, and that was a lesson that you got from your dad.
Right. And besides, we had our equipment manager for the Seals was Joe Mooney, who became groundkeeper of the Boston Red Sox. He was equipment manager for the Seals, and that's when the Boston Red Sox owned them. And he always said, I want you guys to come in early. So I was always 1 hour early waiting out in front for him to open the door.
That was what
and
your
I've
father.
I've always been taught that.
Wow, that's what your father taught you. Mike
right.
Murphy is with us. We're so grateful to have him. He is iconic in the San Francisco Giants organization as their equipment manager. And after you were the bat boy, then it was time to move on. How did you get a promotion?
One day, Mr. Logan needed help, so he asked me if I'd like to be his assistant. So I said, sure. So I just got out of school in 1960. I was 18 years old, and I became his assistant, and I've been there ever since then. In 1961, the gentleman from the Visitors who came out in New York with him passed away. So he gave me the Visitors, and I didn't know nothing about running the Visitors, but I learned quick with the ballplayers. I was there for 30 years, and all of a sudden I come over this side. So. It's been great. It's been a great working situation.
I bet it has. And back then, Mike, of course, the uniforms were wool, and the care of the uniforms was much different, of course, than it is right now.
Oh, sure. We used to send them out every night, which was so good. The towels were, you didn't have to wash no towels. We had linen service all the time, and the uniforms we sent out to get cleaned all the time. So it was great. Just had to wash the wet stuff, but ball players of yesterday didn't have much stuff to wash like they have today.
Right, and then you eventually moved from the Visitors Clubhouse, as you just mentioned, over to the home team side.
Right, and plus, you know, when I was over the Visitors, Mr. Logan had a heart attack in the clubhouse, so was it for Doc Hughes waiting there so late? We were with Doc, and Doc saved Eddie, and he couldn't travel anymore, so Mr. Stoneham put me to travel with the team. So that's how I got started.
Wow. Candlestick Park opens in 1960. It was renowned, reviled, call it what you will, for the
Everybody thought it was a brand new stadiums of the era. You know what I mean?
Right. State of the art.
State of the art. Then all of a sudden, everybody hated coming out there.
Right.
Nobody liked that. Matter of fact, we had Bobby Mercer come from New York. Play center field for the Giants, and he hated it. He really did hate it.
Right.
Out there.
Yeah, and his production dropped, and then he was out of there quickly, and the Chicago Cubs
for a year, and he was out. So he left.
Give us a sense, Mike, of the gale force winds and how bad it was in Candlestick Park night after night.
Oh, it was bad. The fog would come in, and one day we're playing the Pirates, and somebody from us hit a ball up in the air, and the fog was so low that night where Bob Skinner was running around in the outfield trying to find it, and it dropped right in front of him.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad. The wind was bad, too. Stu Miller, who was pitching at the All-Star game in 1961, got blown off the mound.
Exactly. Right. And I've always said this. Mays finished with your dear friend Willie Mays finished with 660 home runs. Now, he played in that park from 1960 till he was traded back to the Mets in May of 1972.
Right.
And he finished just 54 home runs short of Babe Ruth. Mike, you have seen it all at Candlestick Park. I have this theory. He had to have had 54 balls blown back, became outs or became doubles because the balls got caught up in the teeth of the wind.
Oh, sure. A lot of even McCovey, too. Mays would hit a ball, and all of a sudden it just died and dropped down. But that he lost a lot of home runs there. He hit more home runs on the road that those last couple of years than he did at home at Candlestick.
You always had to store a lot of overcoats, right, for the players?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. A lot of people hated to come out there. The wind would blow in your face, the dirt and everything. It was just it just got bad. That's all it is to it. Just the wind was coming off the bay there.
And what would you hear from the visiting players?
Oh, they hated playing out there. A lot of visiting teams, their bullpen was out in left field, and they'd sit in the clubhouse if somebody was happy, they'd run out and start throwing. They'd run across the field, so after the inning was over, they'd go over the other side to start throwing because they wouldn't let them sit in the bench out there.
Yeah, because they'd freeze.
They'd freeze. It'd get cold. They couldn't get warmed up.
Tell us about your favorite players through the years that came through when you were on the visiting side.
Oh, Stan Musial was a great ball player. I love Stan and Drysdale and Roberto Clemente. They were all great to me when I was a kid. They were great ball players.
Is there can we even put a number on the number of pranks or tricks that have been played on you through the years?
Oh, there was plenty. The one they got me was the Pirates, where they sort of lay you down on the ground. They put your arm. You put your arm as another guy's, and the guy says, "I'm going to try to lift all three of you guys up." And all of a sudden, they put shaving cream and chocolate milk all over you and everything. Yeah. Up for that one.
I've seen that. I have seen that happen. Yes, I have. Mike Murphy is with us, the legend with the San Francisco Giants. Through the years, Mike, what have been your rules about how to treat players in terms of running the clubhouse?
Well, Eddie always told me. He says, you know what I mean? They're ball players. We got to take care of them. But, you know what I mean? You take good care of them because they'll always want to come back and play in the old-timer games. You know, a lot of guys would play, then don't come back. I don't want to play there because they treated me like, you know, so stuff like that. So we treated the guys great, and I've always been that way all through my years. Just take care of the guys. And then when Mr. Stone left the ball club, Mr. Lurie bought the ball club, and I said, Mr. Lurie, is it all right if I give the guys uniforms after the end of the season? Because he said, sure, run it the way you want to. Run it the way you want to. Keep the guys happy. So we kept the guys happy.
And they have, through the years, generations of Giants players and the visiting
players. I had their
players,
kids, you know. I had their kids, too, come through here.
exactly right. They've adored you. What were your thoughts as Candlestick Park was demolished?
I was kind of sad at first, but then all of a sudden I said, well, you know, it's goodbye. We got a brand new ballpark right downtown, and it's spectacular, and we got a packed crowd every day here. I think we got 480 sellouts so far, so it's just been great here.
The Giants come to San Francisco from New York, 1962. Seventh game, losing 1-0 against the Yankees and Ralph Terry, Willie McCovey at the plate. The Giants would second and third and two outs. And if McCovey gets a hit, the Giants win the World Series. If he does not, the Yankees win the World Series.
Right,
and
which they did.
Right, and McCovey hits a screaming liner to Bobby Richardson, who has admitted in later years, as you know, Mike, he was playing out of position slightly. And the ball found his glove. If the ball's 2 feet higher, the Giants win the World Series.
We would have won it.
Right. And now we go all these years to 1989, and the earthquake hits. And I happened to be in the ballpark that day, which, by the way, is why when people say to me, well, Ed, what's your favorite ballpark that you've ever been in? I say Candlestick Park, Mike. And the reason why and they go, like, what are you, nuts? And I go, no, the reason why I loved Candlestick Park is it didn't fall down and kill me.
No, at that time you were on Hard Rock. That time at Candlestick, that's the only good part about that. Say that ballpark.
Where were you when the
hard ground?
Where were you when the earthquake hit?
Oh, I was in the clubhouse. We were, I was in the laundry room washing stuff, and I just felt like ever somebody pulled the carpet from you. It felt that way. Oh, it was a real bad one.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. Just a piece of concrete fell at the top. That's all. That's all we had.
Wow. It was amazing that the stadium withstood that, and you're probably thinking to yourself, my goodness, I've been here all these years, and we're never going to win a World Series.
Because I always said that when all the years here, I said, geez, I've never been a bride. I've always been a bridesmaid. You know, we went to World Series and we finished, National League champions. And all of a sudden, Diane Sawyer found out about it. So I was on her show one day about, here's a gentleman that's been a bridesmaid 6 times, never been a bride.
Wow. But you have always been a fatherly figure, a guy to lean on. There's a story that you cried with Rick Rushel after that 89 World Series sweep by Oakland, and that you consoled Tim Worrell after he lost Game 7 in 2002 to the Angels.
Right. I've always been, you go up there, the gentleman who, threw the pitch or whatever, just kind of console him. Don't worry about it. Hey, we got him next year. That's all you can say. Things like that. Things happen. You've been around baseball all your life, Ed.
Yep.
Things happen. Things can happen. Turn around quick here. Like the last 2 days, we couldn't score no runs.
Right.
With Toronto here.
Yeah. The first World Series victory for the Giants comes in 2010, and Buster Posey and other guys said to Mike Murphy, "Mike, we won it for you."
Oh, yes, they did. Well, the owner gave me the, Mr. McGowan gave me the trophy, and he said, "This is for you. You go ahead and give it to the boys." So I went out and give it to the boys, and they sort of dragged me in there. And said, "We won it for you, Murph, after all these years." So it made me proud for these gentlemen, what they did, these young kids.
Mike, are you tired of winning the World Series now, winning it?
No,
three times?
I love it. I love going to the World Series. It's great. I love seeing the commissioners and all the people like Joe Torre and all the gentlemen that come around. Oh, I loved it.
They honored you by having you throw out the first pitch for the opening of the Giants' 50th season in San Francisco in 2008. Was that the first time you ever threw out a first pitch?
That was my first time.
Wow. What took him so long?
And I threw a strike across the plate, too.
Good for you. That's great. Mike, I can't imagine what it was like when you began and what it's like now, where they have electricity in their stalls. The players can plug in their computers and their iPods and everything else. Now everything is so luxurious from what it once was.
It's all changed, Ed. Baseball has went electronic. I hate to say that, like everything else. They all went electronic with more TVs in the clubhouses. Everybody's got a TV in each room. We just had a little radio candlestick on the wall. That's all we had. Listen to Lon. And now they got TVs. You get all the games from all over the country. And they got video people. They got people taking pictures. They're taking computers and everything. It's all changed. Baseball has changed. Nothing we can do. It's moving on.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Mike Murphy with us for just a few more moments from San Francisco. When Pete Sheehy ran the Yankees clubhouse, as you know, for generations and was revered, he waited on Joe DiMaggio. He waited on Babe Ruth. He waited on Joe DiMaggio. He waited on Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford and Yogi Berra and on down the line to Bobby Mercer, who you mentioned earlier. And he always was getting offers to write a tell-all book because what those eyes saw and what those ears heard, not unlike, Mike, what your eyes have seen and what your ears have heard. I'm sure, I'm being presumptuous here, that through the years you've received numerous offers to write a book.
Oh, yeah. People come, even the sports writers here in San Francisco, say, "Hey, Murph, anytime you want to write a book, we'll sit with you." I said, no, thanks. I said, I loved baseball. I loved all the characters that I went through. One of my most closest friends was the Yankee manager, Billy Martin, was my dear friend. And I had more fun with Billy because I was just a kid, and he was with the Yankees. They used to come back to the Bay Area. He used to hit his baseballs all the time at Big Rec, and I loved him. He was great. I would never write a book bad about anybody.
And also, Mike, that really gets to the heart of your longevity. They trust you.
They trust me. And my favorite saying is, "Murph, what about this guy? I don't bother anybody." I didn't see nothing. I don't bother anything.
And when you look back on the length and breadth of your career, you could say, "I was here when you got here, and I'll be here when you're gone."
I told that to Gaylord one day. Gaylord gave me some. He was in a bad mood that day. He lost the game, and he wanted something. And I said, "I'll get with you." And he said, "Oh yeah, you treat me." I said, "Hey, wait a minute, Gaylord. I was here when you got here. I'll be here when you're gone." And he comes by and says, Murph, you're still here and I'm gone.
No wonder why the sign on your desk says Mike Murphy, character builder. Before you go, I got to ask you about Abby, the clubhouse dog. Let's hear about Abby.
Oh, Abby's all right. I bring her, it's got kind of tough taking her out around the ballpark. So I bring her here when the club goes on the road or during the winter. She was with me all the time. So I hit tennis balls her up in the outfield, but she's still going good. Abby the dog.
That's great. And during the off season, what does your job entail?
Well, we get help them get ready for spring training right now, and we get everything ordered, and I help out. Then I go to winter meetings with the boys, and I tell them what to do, and that's what happens. Then we get ready, and they go to spring training.
What a life you have had. And you continue
I had a beautiful
to
life.
Have.
I had a beautiful life here in baseball. And Mr. Bear, our president of our team, I was going to retire. He said, no, we don't want you to retire. We want you. Why don't you just work the home games and we'll take good care of you, and which he does. And I'm very happy, and he loves seeing me in the clubhouse every day. He comes in, says hello every single day, just like Mays comes every day. Check up on me.
Don't ever retire, Mike.
Oh, I try not to.
The Giants need you and baseball needs
you. I do. And the kids all come to me. Oh, you've been here 59 years. You've been here 59 years. Yeah. How was McCovey? How was this guy? How was that guy? Oh, great. They were great ball players. And everybody keeps asking me why I keep giving 35 to shortstops. You know, Chris Spira had it.
Right.
Rich Aurelia had it. Now Crawford's got it. And I never gave 22 out. Like today, a ball player asked me, can I get 25? I said, oh, no, you can't have 25. 25 is retired. And you know who 25 was?
Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds,
yeah.
Exactly.
Barry,
both of them.
Both of them, but we'll never that number will never be put up in the Giants' history.
No, of course not. There's a science to that, and would we have you back when your time permits? I want to talk to you about the science of uniform numbers because they're really fascinating.
I'll tell you about it someday.
We'll do that. The plaque on the home team clubhouse reads, "Welcome to the Mike Murphy Clubhouse. The Giants thank Murph for all his years of care and service to the players in the organization." Mike, an honor to be with you, an honor
thank
to
you,
know
Ed.
You. You are such a great credit to the game of baseball,
thank
and
you.
I thank
Appreciate
you for your
that.
Time.
Thank you.
Best
Appreciate
of luck
that.
To you and the San Francisco Giants.
All right, Ed. I'll see you out here when the Mets come out.
Great.
Okay? All right.
Thank you.
Okay, bye, Ed. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
So that'll do it for us on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.